Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty Creator, who has created everything that we see and know, the heavens and the earth and all living things, our dear Heavenly Father, we approach you this evening with thankful hearts that thou hast called us here into thy kingdom to be thy children and has called by name. We ask, dear Father, simply, preserve us here in this place of a child. Uplift and comfort us. Teach us, dear Father, and grant thy grace and mercy upon us, that we can believe upon that promise and await for that reward which we one day will see. Dear Father, we ask simply this morning, open thy word unto us, feed and nourish us. We who so oftentimes feel our wretchedness, our poorness, we who so oftentimes are doubt-ridden, beset by the enemy of the soul in many, many ways. Dear Father, we thank thee for the gifts that thou hast given unto us, our homes and our families, our brothers and sisters in living faith, and all that is included in this, our daily bread. And we ask this evening, dear Father, remember our loved ones, our neighbors, who are there in the darkness of unbelief. Dear Father, grant unto them thy grace and mercy, that they also can enjoy of this peace and joy and righteousness which thou hast gifted unto us. And for all this we ask in thy beloved Son's name, in Jesus' name, amen. We heard this morning very comforting words from our Heavenly Father concerning His Son, this chief shepherd. And I thought, being Easter is not that many days behind us, that maybe it'd be good for us to return there. Easter Sunday evening, into that little hut where those two disciples sat with the chief shepherd. So I'll read from the 24th chapter of St. Luke, beginning from the 30th verse, a few verses, and these are in Jesus' name as follow. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures. Amen. Somebody mentioned this morning to me how it felt so good to be here. Isn't that the truth? That whenever we gather around God's Word, we never leave from that gathering thinking, I should have stayed home. Such is the nature of God's Word, and such is the nature of the effect that it has upon us. For God's Word is a living, burning Word. It gives warmth and light and instruction. And dear brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of a very darkened world. This portion of Scriptures that we read here took place on Easter Sunday evening. The events of Passion Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday had taken place. The women had gone to the sepulchre early Sunday Easter morning to prepare the body of Christ as custom was. There they received a message from the angels. Jesus is not dead. He lives. This is the message that these women then brought to the disciples that were locked in that room, in that house, for the fear of their lives. Mary, we remember Mary Magdalene had returned back to the sepulchre. She was the first one, Mary Magdalene, of whom Jesus had cured and healed. Not of one Satan and devil, but seven that were tormenting her and her life. Her life was in shambles, as we could imagine. One who was in control and controlled by Satan. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, helped Mary Magdalene. But Mary Magdalene also, we remember, was so doubt-ridden and troubled and wondered at what had happened on Good Friday. Jesus suffering and His death on the cross. She was the first to see Jesus after the resurrection, His resurrection. She returned back to the sepulchre and there He was. But the Bible says, but she, supposing that He was the gardener, asked of Him, where have Thou laid Him? She didn't recognize Him. If one could imagine that, she was in such despair. All Jesus had to do was say, Mary. And her eyes were opened, and she knew and believed. All she could say is, my Lord and my God. She also returned to that upper chamber, or to that hut where the disciples were behind locked doors, and burst in there with this joyful news that I have seen Him. Jesus lives, the Bible said, and they believed not. Now, two of these disciples, for whatever reason, had to go to this little village of Emmaus. The Bible says that it was about 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. Oftentimes this Old English for the English languages, all languages change with time, and old words become old words that are no longer used. And so it doesn't say here, it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, but it says it was 70 furlongs, A furlong is about an eighth of a mile. 60 is 60. So it was about 60/8 of a mile from Jerusalem. And these two disciples were journeying there. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, I had read this passage many, many times until I noticed that these two disciples, they were discussing the things that had happened naturally. It just happened. And now these women came with the message that Jesus is not dead. Mary Magdalene herself came that I have seen Jesus. And he sent you these greetings. And now these two are journeying, and it says, and they reasoned among themselves. I think there's a reason why that word was added in there. Because we are creatures, we are humans. And many times we try to think things through with our mind and our reason. And that's good. It's a wonderful gift that God has given man. This ability to reason and to come up, dear brothers and sisters, with solutions to diseases. Many diseases have been eradicated because of the wisdom and the reason of man. Of course, it's a gift given to them by God. But God has given us the ability to use our mind and reason for good. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But then the Bible also does speak of reason and the wisdom of man, which, you know, we'd have to say, you know, the wisdom of man is pretty amazing. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed with the technology that has developed in my lifetime. I mean, it's incredible. To say nothing of the lifetime of our elders here, who some, as they were growing up, did not have electricity, did not have running water, and so on. As a matter of fact, there's elders here in our congregation, when they were young, they farmed with horses. There were no tractors. They used horses or mules. We'll have to say that the wisdom of man is pretty remarkable. We live a life of Riley, of ease today, compared to our grandparents who worked and needed to work from sun up to sundown for their daily bread. Reason, we know, can overwhelm faith and doubts. Doubts, if we let our doubts go unyielded, can destroy faith. That's why it's good when we're tormented by doubt to speak to somebody. Very important. The Apostle Paul, when he was speaking of reason and carnal mind, you know what the Apostle Paul said of the carnal mind? In the 8th chapter of Romans, the 7th verse, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity is a a word that isn't used very much today either. The meaning of enmity is a deep-seated hatred. And so it says, our carnal mind is a deep-seated hatred against God. And so, when we begin to look at the matters of faith with our carnal mind, it's not a good place to go. The Bible is very clear. It's a deep-seated hatred. Enmity is used in the Bible in different ways. The Apostle James reminds us of the friendship of the world. Well, we know Jesus said we are in the world, but not of the world. And we are in the world for a purpose. There's a reason and a purpose for everything. There's a reason and a purpose for every one of your lives. There's a reason and a purpose why the young couple whom we visited with this afternoon, who are moving to the last frontier, there's a reason and a purpose for that. We don't know what it is. God knows. There's a reason and a purpose for everything. And so James writes of the friendship of the world. In one place he writes that be not unequally yoked with those in unbelief. There again, our grandparents understood that very clearly, unequally yoked, because they saw oxen yoked together with wooden yokes. And so when the master told and instructed the oxen to go forward or to go left or right, the one would go and the other would be forced to follow because they're shackled together. And so, if we were unequally yoked with those in unbelief, when that unbelieving one tells us to come this way into those sins of the world, when we're unequally yoked, there one goes. James writes in this way of the friendship of the world that it is enmity with God. There's a great difference, dear brothers and sisters, of our love for those in unbelief and then to be unequally yoked and in the friendship of the world that we wouldn't be pulled there. Of course, I mean, Jesus left His mission command on to us to preach the gospel to all nations and to all people. The gospel, the sweet message of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, we love our unbelieving dear ones, those of our family, our relatives, our friends, relatives, believers, who have loved ones there, even our neighbors. We have a love for them. We would want to give unto them this which we have, wouldn't we? That they could enjoy this peace and joy and righteousness that only a child of God can enjoy. But we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The letter unto the Hebrews reminds us of that. It's impossible to please God without living faith. And so these two brothers were trying in their mind and with their understanding, human understanding, a carnal mind, they were trying to understand what had taken place. And the more they thought about it, the more depressed they came. Because the wisdom of man only supports our doubting mind. That's the nature of the wisdom of man. It only supports our doubts. Certainly doesn't edify us in living faith. Doesn't help us. These two, they were struggling. You know how much they were struggling? They were struggling so greatly. They had spent 3 years with Jesus, day in and day out. They had been with him 3 years. Now they were traveling. It was evening. It was still light out. And Jesus approached them, and they didn't recognize the Lord. They had been with him for 3 years. This is what doubt can do. It pushes one down. And it says, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what matter of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Even this evening, dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is here in our midst. I didn't know how many would be here this evening. It's not a beautiful spring day today. It's not. And it was raining and the trees are forming ice on their branches. But I thought even if there was two or three here, I think it would be good to speak God's word. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered, there I am with you. There have been many times when I've had services with just one person, two or three. It's good that you've come this evening. It's good for us to gather around God's Word. And it's good when we come here that we pray to God that He would open His Word unto us, that we could be nourished and uplifted, comforted, instructed, lovingly rebuked, and so on. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass there these days? And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, what things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. See, even there, They had used their carnal understanding and wisdom of man, and they thought God had sent Jesus there to be even a natural ruler of the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, they argued among themselves then that when this happened, that who of them would be set into what positions of authority. Such we are. We are of the flesh. Our reason so many times overtakes us. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and now they say, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. It could be that these two had left by the time Mary Magdalene came back with her greetings from the Lord Jesus. It could be that they weren't there then, because Mary Magdalene did return there with the greetings that Jesus sent unto them. Then he said unto them, it's remarkable how much our Lord Jesus loves us and how much patience and compassion he has upon us. The Apostle Paul lamented of his thorn in the flesh which he suffered with every day. It doesn't say what it was, but he battled against that every day. And he prayed to God to take it away. And he was reminded, sufficient is my grace. But he lamented, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself. So as they walked, these two disciples, not realizing that it was the Lord Jesus himself, the Good Shepherd, who was walking beside them, instructing them and teaching them, reminding them, comforting them with and through the Holy Bible. Such is the nature of God's Word. That's why somebody said this morning, oh, it felt so good to be here. God's Word is a nurturing Word. And it doesn't matter how young or how old we are. We are continually here in this school of our Lord Jesus. Again and again, we need to be reminded and taught. Our brother reminded us this morning that when he prayed to God to remember that we are leaking and empty vessels. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. They didn't want to let go of this. They still didn't recognize him. They didn't know that it was a good shepherd. They heard his voice, and it felt so good. And then we come to our text. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The Apostle Paul, when he writes unto the Corinthians, he said, for Christ, in that first chapter, the 17th verse, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Then he goes on to say, he says, for the preaching of the Christ is to them, or the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The prophets of old have reminded us of this way and journey that we're on, this narrow way. And yet it's broad enough that the entire kingdom of God journeys along this path to heaven. But he said that the way will be so well marked, the way to heaven, that not even a fool will be led astray. Imagine. And, you know, when we think, you know, of our knowledge of the Bible, how little we know, how little understanding we have. And yet, we believe on the doctrine, the resurrection. We believe through living faith upon the doctrinal issues that the Bible has shown unto us. Many of us have little understanding on many of those issues. And yet, the Holy Spirit enlightens unto us the way to heaven. It is the Holy Spirit that God has given unto us that warns us of sin. The Apostle Paul wrote that the Spirit that was gifted unto me, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God. I don't think there's anybody here who has living faith who doubts that they're a child of God. But many times we doubt over many things. We doubt, will we get to heaven? We doubt over many things. And yet, that doesn't place us into unbelief. But it's important when these doubts beset us that we speak about them. Because Jesus wants to help us. Even as He did these two doubting disciples who had journeyed with Him for 3 years. How did He help him? Jesus, He led their thoughts to the unfailing Word of God. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures of things concerning Himself. He gently led them here. And that is what God's Word does. I wish I can remember. I was reading earlier this afternoon, and there was a portion that I read, and it was so comforting concerning certainly this portion where the Apostle Paul is teaching the Romans and us. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And He continues, He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Even now, the Lord Jesus is praying on our behalf. Praying what? That we would be preserved in living faith. That we would keep dear in our heart this treasure that has been gifted unto us. This pearl. And that we would live by the righteousness of faith. Eternal reward of heaven awaits us. And it's such a It's such a simple thing that we're saved through the merit work of our Lord Jesus, this Good Shepherd, whose voice we know and wish to hear again and again and again. Every time we come here to services, it doesn't matter which servant sits here behind this pulpit and reads this Bible. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God's Word which is speaking unto us. He is only using the lips of man and the servant that serves us, or there at home, your mother or your father, who is instructing you concerning living faith. Faith is such a simple thing, and yet can be so difficult. And especially if we dwell into the things of living faith with our mind, it is impossible. And that is why we are instructed time and time again to simply believe as a child, that place of watching that God has placed you in, believing the sweet message that is directed directly at you, the gospel, that you can believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Also, it's good to remember, dear brothers and sisters, God has left here in His kingdom the grace privilege of confession. Sometimes believers had made confession into a work. It is impossible for us to confess all our sins. Sometimes believers have taken this grace privilege and thrown it out. Said that the gospel that is preached from the pulpit forgives all sins. Dear brothers and sisters, the gospel forgives all sins. There is no fault in the gospel. The fault lies here in me and you. We are incapable. And there are those times when we must and need to hear forgiveness for those sins. The Bible is very clear about them. It says that they that do such things shall not inherit eternal life. You know, many times we would want to broaden the way and make it easier for us believers to journey. And yet, the way to heaven has been established by our Heavenly Father and through the merit work of Christ. We can't broaden the borders of the kingdom, nor can we constrain them, even though our flesh at times would wish to constrain the borders. And other times our flesh would wish to broaden them. It is impossible. If we try to broaden them, we find ourselves on the outside of God's kingdom. When we constrain them, we find ourselves floundering in the sins on the right-hand side of the way, and the sins of righteousness of man and self-righteousness and works and merit, and we begin to look at ourselves as good children of God. And we look down upon the others as how poor they are. And that is what Satan tries to do, to pull us from one side. And if we battle fiercely there, he attempts to pull us to the other side. And Satan doesn't matter which side we would fall on. He's not... Either side is fine for him. But yet, what is important for us is that we simply believe in our own place of watching that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I also need to hear this gospel that could I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven. I certainly desired to believe with you. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, this is what God's word does in our life. It warms our cold and empty heart. It fills it with goodness. It reminds us how important it is to feel like we belong here in God's kingdom. Even as we were reminded, again I need to say it, recently at one of our gatherings, that the importance that the gospel work continues. And the gospel work is so simple. It's each one of us having love, compassion, and kindness upon another. That we go out of our way to help one another, uplift one another. And we have this need to be loved and to feel like we belong, because we do belong in God's kingdom. And Jesus does love us. And so the work is very simple, dear brothers and sisters. We need to encourage one another. When we see someone having difficulty, we need to encourage them and uplift them and instruct them. Why is that? Because you and I so oftentimes need this help. And that is how Jesus, this is how the Good Shepherd does his work in our midst today. It's through his angels that he's placed here in his kingdom. It is so simple. Dear brothers, dear sisters, children and youth, that you endeavor to do this work. Help one another, remind one another, encourage one another, and so on. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.